Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Has the minister got extra Gardaí in place to police these late closing regulations? Well, we will get to all of that because the government says that new laws allowing pubs to open from 10:30 in the morning to 12:30 midnight, after midnight, 7 days a week, with nightclubs not having to close until 6 a.m. will be good for the nighttime economy. As part of the new legislation, 9 new pilot cities and towns will now get advisors to help develop a sustainable nighttime economy, including Kilkenny, Drogheda, Sligo, Buncrana, Longford towns, as well as Dublin, Cork, Galway and Limerick cities. In a few moments, we'll hear from Minister for Justice Helen McEntee. But first, Drive Time's John Cook has been asking people on the streets of Limerick for their views.
Go. I think it's a great idea for the economy in Ireland. Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and it'll bring us in line then with the European countries as well.
It's not going to impact me, I won't be out that late, but yeah, I'm sure it's good for the students and yeah, the economy.
It won't matter to us anyway, we won't be out anyway.
No. You won't be going out that late, will you?
No.
Definitely not.
Definitely not, no nightclubs till six for you.
Maybe 10 years ago we'd have loved it, but...
you won't be going out that late now.
Difference does now, yeah.
I think it's a good thing, you know. 2 a.m. they're going to be get drunk and they don't enjoy much after that. They need to enjoy, like,
so you should be allowed to stay out longer till 5 or 6 in the morning.
Yeah, why not? Example, the other countries around the world, like most of the place they open until 5. Rather than walk in the street and they make a mess, they can just chill at pub and get tired, go back home. That's a good thing.
I think it's like a very good idea to kind of extend the opening hours. It would do well for our tourism and economy, especially over summer. But I think the main concern is making sure that the secondary services attached to it are also kept forward. More taxis need to be kind of like amended to be have more availability. And I'd say Gardaí, especially in larger towns, because we know what the Irish are like. You know, a bit of fighting kind of happens on occasion. So as long as that's kind of covered, I think I don't see a problem with it.
No
way.
Are they mad or what?
At 6 o'clock in the morning, yeah. Meeting all these on the streets.
So you think there's going to be a bit of a mess on the streets in the morning?
Yes, of course.
6 o'clock in the morning, where are they going? Like, are they serious?
Home, I presume, at that stage, is it?
No, but no, the government people, are they serious about it? Like, that's mad.
It's about promoting the nighttime economy, bringing us into line with other cities, they're saying. Good for business.
They must be making a lot of money from drinks, so drink, crazy.
You run Slattery's Bar in Edward Street in Limerick yourselves.
Yes.
Some people say it's good regular. For the publicans, this late opening.
I don't think so, because they'll come out later and they won't have the money to spend early, so you're there later. So you'll still only get the same.
So the publicans aren't convinced this is the best idea either?
I don't think so, in my business.
It'll be interesting if they can find staff for it, to be honest with you. The industry itself is finding hard to find staff. Like England when they had a 24-hour... That lasted 2 weeks, then all of a sudden it kind of went, well, it's not really working.
Honestly, hearing about the drinking culture in Ireland, yeah, I'm pretty surprised that they close as early as they do. So I'm not super surprised to hear that people want to push it longer.
You think it's a good idea?
I think it's a fine idea. People can make their own decisions, you know what I'm saying?
I can't see it working, to be honest. The money isn't there anywhere to begin with, and what do you think, Sue?
Leave them open for people who want to stay out.
Will you be out yourself?
Yeah, I never go home.
Enjoy yourselves.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
There you go, there you have it. Views from Limerick, collected by John Cook. Extended hours for pubs and clubs. Pubs, as we said, from 10:30 a.m. till 12:30 a.m. Clubs until 6 a.m. Where are they going, says one listener there to John Cook. Alcohol Action Ireland has expressed serious concerns about the proposed extension of licensing hours. I spoke just before we came on air to Minister for Justice Helen McEntee and asked her why these law changes were needed now.
Well, quite simply put, we have a system that is completely outdated and just not fit for purpose. So our laws span over, there's about 100 different laws that start from about the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. They've been added on to as time has gone on. They're outdated, they're antiquated, they're not fit for what I want, and I think most people want, and that is a modern, vibrant, growing cultural nighttime economy. So what we're doing here is a number of things. Firstly, we're taking those 100 laws and we're consolidating it into one law. So we're making it clear, we're making it more understandable for people. We're not only doing that, but we're reducing the number and the type of licences that people have to apply for. So at the moment, there's 36 different types of licences, there's 3 different hotels, there's 5 different producer licences. We're consolidating that down to 20. So we're trying to streamline something and make it easier. But also, you know, I want to protect the nighttime economy, the people who are there already, but also expand it and grow it, offer more cultural type events, offer more opportunities for younger people to get into the industry where it is quite prohibitive at the moment. Now, in saying all of that, while we want a vibrant nighttime economy, because it's good not just for our economy, but it, you know, it's good for all of us, I think, to be able to have these things to do and for people who are visiting. But also we have to acknowledge that the sale of alcohol, it's not the same as any other commodity. So we have to treat it as a different type of, you know, a different type of product.
So how are you going to protect against the ills of that then? If you're giving people more opportunity to, very often what happens in this country is abuse alcohol.
What we will have is a system, firstly, that is a complete level playing field. So whether you're applying to open a pub, a hotel, a nightclub or an off licence or have an amenity licence, you will have to apply in the district court. You will have to put a notice in the paper and then there will be an opportunity for the fire officer, the HSC, the Gardaí local to you, and then representative from the local authority or local communities to be able to voice their concerns. So if you are a first time applicant, you will have to go through the court and you'll have to go through this process. If you're renewing your licence, people will have an opportunity to object or to raise concerns. So we need to make sure that there's a robust system in place for anybody who is applying to open and to start a premises, that they are, you know, using a building that's fit for purpose, that they're compliant, whether it's fire, whether it's planning regulations, and that it's in a suitable area, that there isn't a high concentration of certain types of venues. So all of these factors can be looked at. And then from a public health point of view, what we're trying to make sure is that obviously, as I said, the HSC can apply where somebody is in this situation, but also making sure the enforcement measures that were brought in for the Gardaí during COVID, that they remain. We have online sales changes so that there is greater oversight of people buying alcohol online. But also we will ensure that people who want to open off licences, which, to be honest, this is where the culture has now gone in drinking, that they will still have to pay for that licence.
But notwithstanding all of that, Sheila Gilheaney from Alcohol Action told this radio station earlier on, if we increase opening hours, she said, it will cause an increase in the harms from alcohol, including violence in different forms, public disorder, she said, and increased hospital admissions.
Well, I would say that's not the case. And I say that because we have, from the very outset of this process, engaged with all stakeholders, and that includes the HSC, Department of Health, and those who are advocating, obviously, for public health.
And did they raise any objection, Minister?
They have, absolutely. And they have raised concerns, and we have taken all of those on board.
And but what
just
are
maybe
they specifically?
To speak to some of your points. Mm-hmm. So the idea that the longer a person has availability to drink, the more harm it causes and the more challenges there are. What we've seen in recent years is a complete flipping of how people are drinking. So many years ago, the vast majority of people drank in pubs, in restaurants and nightclubs where it's a more controlled environment. We now have a situation where it has completely turned and the vast majority of people are drinking at home. They're drinking in environments that aren't controlled. 20 years ago, we had about 500 nightclubs in our country. We have about 90 now.
Is that
we
not
don't
because
have
of price, though?
It's a mixture of things. People's habits have changed, how they go out. But for nightclubs, certainly, I know, and as someone who used to frequent them, you know, we're not getting the larger acts, we're not getting the DJs because we don't have the environment, we don't have the buildings, we don't have the attraction that other European cities and towns have. Mm-hmm. So we want to try and bring back and give people options and give people opportunities. The more people we have drinking in a controlled environment or just out enjoying themselves in an environment that's managed, the less likely they are at home.
But also one interpretation of what you're saying, Minister, is you keep talking about growing the nighttime economy here, but others would argue you're growing society's problems when it comes to alcohol abuse as well, notwithstanding the fact that you call it a controlled environment. And I just wonder, if you are growing opportunities for antisocial behaviour or people showing up to A&E because of violence on the streets after a nightclub or whatever the case may be, or alcohol intake in general and all its associated problems, I just wonder, are you putting in place the resources to deal with them as well?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that we have, and it's based on our current licensing system, is that at half two, every single person bails out onto the street at the same time. And that causes problems for, I suppose, the venues themselves and trying to get people out and do so safely. It causes problems for the Gardaí. It causes problems where people are left not able to get public transport. Issues happen on the street. So what we've actually tried to do is space out some of these times so that you don't have the same level of people congregating at the same time. That in itself creates a problem. So everything closes at 2:30. You have problems with people getting out onto the street, people trying to get transport, people hanging around. What we're actually proposing is that we would space that out so that you wouldn't have those mass volumes coming out, that you would have it spaced out. And actually today we saw many of the taxi associations welcome the fact that there will be a more spaced out system. And indeed, actually, at earlier hours, we do have more public transport. So while I would absolutely say the Minister for Transport's priority is to try and expand our public transport, provide 24-hour services where we can, while we're not at that point yet, we do actually have more public transport early in the morning. So
you keep mentioning cities. Now, I'm from originally a rural part of Ireland, and I know you know rural Ireland very well, Minister, as well. This screams to me that these new laws to be geared towards Berlin-style nightclubs or Paris-style nightclubs or New York-style nightclubs. Will this do anything for the rural Irish pub?
I believe it will. And look, while, you know, we might be talking about late bars and nightclubs, not every pub and not every nightclub, particularly in rural towns and villages, will want to stay open late. But what we have seen over the last 15 or so years is the decline in rural pubs in our villages. And it's not just where you have a couple of them where some have closed. You have some villages where they have absolutely none. And in fact, we had a report done by the drinks industry with DCU recently, which showed a 21% overall decline across the country. So our pubs are closing. They're not reopening. The cost of buying a licence is prohibitive. It's not, we're not encouraging people to open different types of venues that so often are the heart of communities. So by the proposals that I'm putting in place, mm-hmm. which will allow people to set up and open a pub, fine, they will have to go to the district court, but they won't have to pay for a licence. They will be able to, you know, apply for an immediacy licence, which means that they can have a gallery or they can have a show and they can have alcohol being served at it, but it's not the main event. So it's about providing these options, not just for the larger towns and cities, but also for the rural villages where they are really seeing this decline and where there are no offerings of this kind available to people at the moment.
Can I ask you before I let you go, Minister, about the major crisis that we have in this country now in relation to accommodation for temporary protection applicants from Ukraine or anywhere else in the world that may arrive to our ports and airports. How in the name of God are you going to find accommodation quickly to people, new applicants to our shores in the next few weeks?
This is a global crisis, I would say. And if you look at the fact that in the last year alone, since March mainly, we have provided accommodation for over 50, nearly 55,000 Ukrainians and over 10,000 international protection applicants. So every single effort that could possibly be made is being made to support people who really do need our help. In saying that, you know, we have to be really honest. This situation is not going to get any better. We can see what Vladimir Putin is doing, how he is literally destroying towns and villages, cutting off their energy, their fuel supply. So that means we will more likely see coming into the winter months more people coming. So
you
it's
can't
going to put
give
huge
a guarantee.
Pressure.
You can't give a guarantee to asylum seekers fleeing war that they won't have to sleep rough. Is that right?
Well, to date, we have managed to find accommodation. And while I appreciate over the weekend we had challenges, every single person has been contacted and has been given accommodation.
But they've slept rough, some of them as well.
They have slept in the airport and they have been there and they have been supported even by my own teams in the National Immigration Bureau. So anybody who comes in, we are working with them. But, you know, it's not to say we didn't preempt this. We know there's going to be difficult scenarios while we're trying to bring more accommodation on stream. And there's a lot of work happening, be it refurbishments, be it rapid builds, mm-hmm. be it fulfilling the last of some of the offers of help through the Red Cross. So there's a lot of work happening. But again,
so
I have
you,
to come back.
Do you
we have to
plan.
Be honest with people.
Do you have a plan in government to make more accommodation available in the next few weeks now? Or is there a danger that more applicants will have to sleep on the airport floor or on the streets?
So we do. And there are a number of different streams happening. So there's a lot of work between Minister Gorman, who's the Minister for with responsibility for accommodation here, but with Dara O'Brien, our Housing Minister, with Minister O'Donovan, who's in the OPW, my own department, like, we are all working collectively, and there are different streams through local authorities, through renovations, through the pledges, through the rapid builds. All of these are coming on stream, but, you know, you can't turn on a tap overnight. We went from providing accommodation for an average about 3,000 international protection applicants a year to now almost 75,000 people since March. So it's been a huge amount of work and a lot of effort, and there's more going to have to be done. But, you know, it's not going to be easy, and we have to be honest with people. We're going to hit blips in the road like we did at the weekend.
Could renovation work and pledges and work on vacant homes not have been done before summer? Because we knew about this, and you were planning for greater numbers than what have arrived, even though it is in the mid 50,000s. You could have done a lot more, surely, before now.
So we have accommodated almost 75,000 people since March.
You predicted more, though. That's the point.
We know what we predicted over the next however length of period that this war goes on, that we may have up to, but I don't think anybody expected. If you look at the percentage of people that we are taking in, we are 10th overall in Europe. So,
but Minister Coveney predicted greater numbers than what we have. Are you saying that wasn't a realistic prediction?
No, I don't think anybody predicted anything. I think we thought that we could have in excess of 100, 200. We actually, nobody knew what the figures might be.
So you didn't plan for it, even though you knew it was a possibility. Is that it?
So there's only so much you can bring on stream. There's only so much that people who are working in departments and across agencies and local authorities can do at any one given time.
I wonder if you have an opinion on this. Was there too much of a burden placed on Roderick O'Gorman's department? I mean, did the Department of Housing do its fair share here, I wonder?
So we are all responding collectively. Yes, it is the case that the Minister's department, which would have been actually in justice previously, but accommodation for those seeking refuge, is now in the Department of Children and Equality. But when we meet, as we did last night, we meet with housing, with children, with the OPW, with Foreign Affairs, my own department in justice, led by Taoiseach. So this is a whole of government response.
But an awful lot of the coordination, it seems, and planning lies with Minister Roderick O'Gorman.
Again, Minister O'Gorman working with other ministers across different departments. So different people have responsibilities for different areas. I mean, Norma Foley and Simon Harris are delivering and supporting people and children who are going to school. You have health, obviously, have provided different measures. You have social protection is giving funding to people. So everybody is playing their part here. The coordinating role is through the Department of Taoiseach with the Department of Children. But, you know, we all have a role to play. Everybody has a role to play here. And that's exactly how it's being approached.
Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, Míle Buchas Leath.